Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Chivas del Norte podcast. The streak is over. We're recording more than once a year again. I don't know how long this will last, but it's a special occasion, so we had to reunite the whole crew. With me tonight, we have four out of the five CDN crew members. I got Flo here, I got Rigo, and I got Luis. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
Who's the fifth person?
Melissa. But, you know, Chivas Feminine went out, so it was bad. Okay. It was bad.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Hey, I think I had already left when she started potting with you.
So we got the OG crew back. The Discord has been asking for it. The streaks have been asking for it. So we made it happen. What's up, guys? How y'all been?
Been good, man. Just life.
Yeah, man. Life be getting in the way of shit. But, I mean, I still follow along. I see you guys have been potting, so I'll give a retweet and like, you know, whenever the pods pop up. The other day when you guys potted, I'm like, fuck, I would have liked to join because it's been a long ass fucking time.
It was out of nowhere, right? I think Luis texted me and he's like, "Yo, look, pod," and I was like, I guess." I was like, "All right," and then it took me like half an hour to find all my equipment. I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, it's been I can't even remember the last time I was on. Like, bro.
But you're here because you're gonna give us an acapella version of the Deseo Lo Mejor, right? That's why you're here?
Yes, that's why. So you won't get a fucking a lawsuit from the Music Academy give me a second, let me tune my vocal cords and then and then you guys can hear my singing. Where's Luis at? I think he's on.
Oh damn! I think he got disconnected. Oh, he'll come back.
He'll come back. So
he thought you were gonna really start singing. And he was like, "I'm out."
No, fuck that. I'm not gonna do that.
But I mean, guys, we're back. We're back in the final. It's not a 10-year drought this time. We've made it back to the final, and it's against a familiar rival, Tigres again. We're running it back.
And isn't it fucking crazy that we're playing against them? We played against Atlas in that run. We're playing against Atlas in this run. We played them on a Thursday, May 25th. And now we're going to play them again on a Sunday, May 28th. Only 6 years apart. And I feel like they have a lot of players that played in that game that are still playing with them. At least three, I feel.
Yeah. They still have some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gignac, Aquino, what's the goalie's name?
Nahuel.
Yeah. I don't know who else, but I feel like they have more players that are still from that same 2017 team that played. And for us, it's like Chapito and Cisneros. Even though Cisneros didn't play, I don't think.
Wacho was part of the squad, I think, right?
Wacho was part of the squad. And Wacho won the
Copa MX
that year.
That's true. I mean, the coincidences keep lining up. Like, they were saying Morelia lost the final in the Akron with the Copa MX, and now they lost it against Tapatio.
Right. They did lose Copa MX.
Yeah. In Akron. They lost again in Akron. The one I didn't bring up last week on the pod was Pizarro came from Pachuca after winning a championship. Pocho Guzman came from Pachuca after winning a championship. Mm. And then the one that really blew my mind last night was Chiquete Orozco scores the game winner, number 13, on the back of his jersey. And now we're going for the 13th championship. Damn. I don't know. Kind of feels like destiny.
I thought you were going to say someone scored with number 13 in the last run.
Oh, no. I don't.
The goals were all like.
It's like Pizarro.
Pizarro.
Pulido.
Pulido, yeah.
Yeah.
What was Pizarro's number? It was like
20 or 23. I don't remember.
Hold on.
I think it was 20.
I have his kid in my closet somewhere.
Yeah, I think it was 20. But, you know, these coincidences keep lining up, and I'm here for it because we need all the hope we can grasp at.
Yeah, we are.
I'm trying not to be like, you know, overly confident and excited, but I'm excited.
No, I'm like, yeah.
I didn't go to sleep till like 2:30 in the morning last night.
Dang.
Yeah.
Like,
that's like six hours past his bedtime.
Bro, for real. I could normally, like, which game was it that they played late? Oh, the Thursday game where then they lost?
Yeah.
It was like 12 o'clock. I knocked out like 12:01. Bro. And like yesterday, I could not go to sleep. I'm sitting there watching fucking La Última Palabra. Picante. Like, I'm watching all that shit. I wake up and I'm listening to podcasts. Like I feel like I only slept like 4 hours, but I feel like I got a full night's rest.
Yeah, I didn't knock out till like 3 a.m. and I had to wake up at 7, and it didn't really hit me till like 1 p.m. and I was like, oh yeah, I'm in trouble.
I mean, I was like, my wife was like, are you going to go to sleep or no? And I'm like, I'm trying to. But I'm not sleepy. Like, I'm just, I got all this energy. I started watching Succession. I couldn't even concentrate on the episode because I just wanted to, like, read tweets and watch, like, videos on online. Like, it was just crazy. It was like a crazy game. But you know what I enjoyed the most about the game? That I felt like we didn't have to suffer those last 10 minutes. Like, we were up a goal. We were up a man. But America couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like they had given up. And where, like, I feel like any other game, you're like, you're up a goal and there's like 10 minutes left and you're like a nail biter, and the other team is just like on top of you, throwing in crosses and throwing in shots. It didn't feel like that yesterday. I felt like America, when we scored, they were like completely like depleted. Like that was it for them. Like they gave up at that point.
Well, they decided to park the bus. They took out all their attack minded players. They put in defensive players, and you're right. Like, I don't think as Chivas fans overall we've ever been that team that closes games out and we feel really good. Usually we're just panicking, we're anxious. But it felt like that goal was coming. Like, it was just a matter of time. And then when Nene lines it up for Chiquete, it's like the euphoria is amazing.
Even that felt so like easy. Right. Yeah. And I understand we were up a man, right? But it just felt like such an easy play. Like, I feel like, I mean, how many Chivas games have we not watched where it's like the last 20 minutes and they're throwing in crosses and you can't connect to any of them or you're not doing anything with them. And it was like two goals back to back so fast. Like, I just feel like that never happens. I was telling some of my other friends this morning, like, this team feels special just like 2017 team felt. Like there was like a special vibe to that team, and it was a special vibe to this team. Like, it's, I don't know. Again, I'm trying not to like overexcite myself for this final, but like, I can almost taste it. and to be honest, like, prior to this season, I'm like, Chivas is never gonna make another fucking final again. Like, it's just, we just can't get it right. I was not expecting Fauner to take us to the final in one season.
No, I was banking on 2027, honestly. I was like, all right, we make it every 10 years. I was like, let's just suffer. Let's just suffer till 2027. We'll make it to the final. We'll win another championship. But they cut that wait 4 years short. I think before we get into like deep into the second game, let's talk about the first game real quick. Chivas loses 1-0 at home. That first half, Chivas looked great. We should have had goals. We should have won that game too, but we didn't put any of our chances away. Vega, still waiting for Vega to show up, man. I'm waiting for him to show up this Liguilla. He hasn't shown up. He had like three, I think, against America in that first game, and he couldn't finish any of them. And then obviously America scores and we lose that game 1-0. How are you guys feeling after that first game?
So I was disappointed, me personally, just because I thought we should have won. But I felt like you said, the first half we played great, and then I think with like the subs in the second half, like the team just fell apart. And it wasn't like America was that much better than she was the second half. They were just a more efficient team, and they caught us slipping, and they scored a golazo. But you know, I still, obviously, you go into the games, you have hope, but I'm like, you know, it's going to be tough because America, they're a good team. Like, you watch them play, like, they know how to take advantage of spaces, and the guys, like, especially, like, their guys up top, they know how to make runs without the ball very well. And, like, so you go in and you're, you know, I was just like, let's just get a goal in the first 30 minutes, right? And let's try to build on it. That was my, like, I was, my uncle called me earlier in the day and he's like, what do you think? And I'm like, I think if we get a goal early, it'll help. But I'm like, if we go into the second half and it's 0-0, then I don't see it happening.
Yeah. And the fact that they only needed a draw at home, I wasn't feeling too optimistic going into the game, and I thought the same thing. If we can get one early, get the confidence going, we got a chance. But it was all about, you know, getting that early goal.
Yeah, I mean, that first game, Chivas played an amazing first half. We kind of shit the bed in the second half. America takes advantage. But even at the end of that game, from what I saw in the first half, I was like, Chivas can come back. Granted, Chivas had only scored 3 goals in 2 games that whole season. I think it was against Atlas and Mazatlan. So I was like, if America scored, then we're kind of in trouble because we don't really score 3 goals per game. And we only did it twice this season so far. But we got that early goal from Ronaldo Cisneros. The lineup for the second game. Paunovic makes some changes. He makes some bold changes. He benches Alan Mosso. Puts in Charal Cisneros at right back. And then he benches Isaac Brizuela, Conejito, Flo's boy. And he put in Ronaldo Cisneros. And I think I was on Twitter.
I was in the Discord.
I was in the Discord. I was in Twitter. I was on Instagram. Everybody was mad at that lineup. Nobody liked it. Nobody.
You know what's funny is like I was earlier, in a couple of games earlier, I was hating on Mosso.
Right.
He just wasn't playing well. But then, like, the Atlas series, he played really well. And even in the first game, I thought he played really well. But, like, my boy Fo on Twitter was like, Cabecita has been cooking Mosso, like, every single time they play, right? And I'm like, you know what? He's right. Like, maybe Cisneros will be able to, you know, neutralize him and still be able to help on attack. And but you know, I still wasn't all in on the sub. So I'm like, I don't know about this one. And then Cisneros, he doesn't, you know, he's not playing in the MLS, so he hasn't done much whenever he's played. So I wasn't, you know, overconfident, but we did need a striker because this false nine shit is just has not been that successful for us. And so yeah, I mean, I think I was with everyone where I was, you know, I wasn't in La Panoneta when he was doing that.
Bro, I was like the Shaq meme with Ronaldo Cisneros after that goal went in. The one where he's like, I didn't know about your game like that.
I was like, excuse me. Because I tweeted at the account when you tweeted that out. I was like, bro, I was like, we wanted a good number 9, not just any random bum we have on the bench. But but he did his job. Well, the one thing I found weird about putting Cisneros in is that he took Mosso out. And I'm like, the one thing, the good thing Mosso does is cross the ball. He's really well at crossing the ball. And you take and you put on number 9 and take Mosso out. I just didn't see the game plan on that. But listen, he's the coach. He knows he's leading the team right now.
I mean, I think Cisneros was lights out all the first half. Which, you know, it sucks that he got injured. But then you got to.
How bad was it?
I don't know how bad it is.
I haven't seen anything about it.
But he doesn't get injured. He was playing a good game. You might not bring Mosso in. Right? And then you might not have that second goal. I mean, it's, you know, obviously things happen for a reason. But he was playing lights out. I mean, I thought he was playing very well on that side of the field when he was in. And then Cisneros on the first goal, like, first of all, he scored twice. Right, he can barely score one.
Ronaldo, yeah.
Yeah.
Call him Ronaldo because it's kind of hard. It's hard to differentiate.
Oh, because we have two.
Yeah, because it's two Cisneros. Yeah. Charal and Ronaldo.
I mean, he's the only Ronaldo in the world right now that plays in a meaningful league.
But after the pass from Piojo, like just the way he moved the ball out of the goalie's way, that was fantastic.
Nah, let's and obviously. Hold on, let's just, before you go into the run by Piojo, might be the greatest run on a Mexican field since Maradona in 86. when he dribbled all 10 players. The fact that he kept the ball, he didn't get taken out, he kept dribbling through people, and then the pass, that pass had to be weighted perfectly. If not, if it's too much, the keeper probably comes out and get it. If it's behind Ronaldo, the play just doesn't work out. So it had to be perfect. Like, credit to Piojo on that play.
Now, Piojo, I mean, I've been a Piojo hater. Since the Piojo Herrera days. I've said that Chivas got fleeced on the Antuna trade. But that was one hell of a run right there.
That's better than anything Antuna ever did.
For sure. There's people saying that was a foul.
Nah, hell no.
That wasn't a foul to me.
That was shoulder to shoulder in there.
He bodied Zendejas. He caught a body on that run. Piojo, one of the most criticized Chivas players the whole season. People kept saying and to be fair, I think he does disappear in certain games, or he did disappear through periods of the season. But he wasn't the player I was expecting to make that kind of run and give us the lead or help give us the lead. I was waiting for Vega to do something. Yeah. I wasn't expecting Piojo to be the guy that ignited the comeback. If it was going to be anybody, it was going to be Pocho or Vega. And both were MIA last night and in the first game. Well, not in the first game because Vega was there, but he choked the opportunities he had. But Vega and Pocho were invisible Sunday night against America. I don't remember any Vega or Pocho Guzman plays in that game. Except like Vega flopped.
Vega play was a cross.
Vega flopped in the box once. Like I can't remember anything they did last night.
I was like, if we would have lost, I would have completely turned against Vega.
Oh yeah.
Like he would have completely lost me and I would have hated him forever, because he's just, I don't know, man. Like there was one pass that where he crosses midfield, right? And then he's on the left side, and then he starts dribbling like towards the middle of the field, and he passes it, and it's just about like 15 feet wide of the nearest player. And I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? Like I don't know if he's injured, but he just has not been what I expected him to be in his playoff run. And maybe he comes alive in the final, but I mean, I'm hoping he does.
Yeah, if Chivas doesn't win that game, it's hard to come back from that after the performance in the first half from the first game, where the clear, obvious chances that he had that just couldn't put away. It would have been hard to come back from that if Chivas was in advance.
I will say that's what I feel is different from the 2017 team, where it felt like the 2017 team, the so-called stars of the team, like the Pizarro's police, like they were put in Orbelin, they were putting goals away when they had opportunities. And on the Pauno team, it feels like it's almost like the role players are the ones that put the
I was about to say this team might be better coached as far as in how to attack.
I don't know.
Like even in that in the play where they cross it to get them the last goal, like you're seeing a lot of those off the ball movements, diagonal runs, triangle passes. I feel like you see that a lot more with Panovich as coach.
One thing I will say with Bono as coach is that, and you see it a lot with Piojo, where like as the game progresses, they like Vega, Piojo, Pocho, Nene, they'll all like almost switch positions. Like it's very fluid. And you'll see Piojo on the left side at one point, and then you see him on the right side. And they're all sort of like, you know, switching positions, and like nothing is lost. Like they're still playing, they all know each other's movements, and it's very cohesive.
I'm telling you, this team is very well coached in attacking, man. They're very well coached in how to attack, how to create plays where they don't need they don't need the number nine, because you'll see Nene make runs, you'll see midfielders make runs into the box behind the defenders. This is a very well coached team.
Yeah, I think I go back to like a point that Rigo started to make. Like I was gonna ask, what does it say about this team that Vega and Pocho can disappear and we still get the results that we get? So I think, I don't know if this attack is, if this team is better than the 2017 team or better coached, but we might be better built for Liguilla, if that makes sense. I think
for set pieces, it's a better team.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys are saying they're better coached without saying they're better coached.
I think Matias
brought something out of them that's different. Right, as far as like motivation. the belief in themselves,
attitude, yeah,
yeah. Where maybe Panovich brings some of that too, but there's also, you can tell how well coached this team is.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I think we have something special, and you know, we commented on the last episode that it's basically the same squad we had last season with the addition of Pocho and Mosso. And to turn around and make a final when you got eliminated in the repechaje round by Puebla, I think, in the penalty shootout, like that turnaround is insane.
Bro, to show how bad some of the greatest Mexican coaches of all time statistically couldn't do what Panovich has done in a couple of months.
I just want to say, Vucetich, once again, a fraud.
Bro, I was watching, was it Football Picante? I was watching one of those ESPN shows, and they were talking about how he goes like, yeah, he might motivate them in a certain way, but que el equipo no tiene estilo, they don't play, there's no like style of play, they don't play for anything, like it's, and then they're like, it's the same problems that he had when he was at Chivas, like you don't see anything, like you don't see the coaching, the Vucetich coaching in any way.
Yeah, it's just individual plays, individual talent that gets the results that they get, and that's why the teams never succeed, unless you go back all the way to the Chupete the Suazo era. But even then, they didn't really win that many.
Yeah. So when you say like Vega has been MIA or Pocho was MIA, and they can still perform, they can still get goals, they can still create plays without them being involved, says a lot about the coach. I'm glad we got a good coach, man.
So I think another guy that should get his flowers after the performance in the last two games and even going back into the second game of the Atlas series. Pollo Briseño. We talked about it, Luis, on the last episode. I was like, do you think Pollo Briseño should start again against America? And I think you said Henry Martin was a better player than Furch, and he would eat Briseño alive.
No, I did not say that. You can go back to listen.
Did you not? I don't know. I don't remember.
Henry Martin is better than Furch, but he has some of those same characteristics. Like, he's a physical striker, right? He's a wins the ball in there. And for that reason, Briseño should have repeated in the lineup.
Okay, I don't know. I don't go back and listen to our episodes. If I don't edit it, I don't listen to it again, because that's a lot. And then just to talk to myself, like, I start talking again, like, nah.
Nah, I'm listen good. Back when I answer myself. Nah. I think you said Luis, and I was like, what?
But yeah, Briseño, I think, you know, after the Amazon Prime series, every fan was like, damn, we wish Pollo Briseño was actually good, because he has the heart and he wants to win. But he's getting his moment now, and I think he's a locker room leader. He's a leader on the field that we needed, along with Pocho Guzman. I think they've changed the game. But
man,
Pollo Briseño, what a moment he's going through right now.
Reminds me a little bit of Jair.
I was about to make the comparison too. That in the first half, I think he blocked the Henry Martin shot with his head. Do you guys remember in the final against Tigres?
Yeah.
Jair Pereira makes like a tackle with his head. He's on the ground and he like just throws his head up.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, I was like, damn.
He flopped like a fish?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, oof. I was like, Jair Pereira vibes. But yeah, like, the Jair Pereira had heart. He was injury prone, you know, he really wasn't on the field as much, but, you know, Pollo Briseño.
He played the final.
Yeah. Remember, he was like on glass hamstrings. Yeah. His hamstrings were made of glass.
Did Conejito play the final? No, right, because he got injured.
No, that's when Sambuesa.
By Sambuesa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you were there in the state. He was drunk, he was passing out.
I barely remember. I was fucking about to pass out. I was hungover.
So, like, Pollo Briseño, what other players you guys?
I got some also flowers too. Hold on, Amaury Vergara, right? Who got criticized, and in his mind, he thought he was doing the right thing when sticking with Peláez. But it took a lot probably for him to go against whatever he thought he knew. And to trust people that have nothing to do with the league, and look, in the long run, it's paid off for him. He went against the grain.
I think he listened to
the fans, man. He listened to the fans. The fans were tired of it.
I mean, I don't know who was advising him, right, to bring in Hierro, to bring in, you know, Paunovic, but whoever it is, he needs to keep him, because it's not only working here, it's also I mean, and Chivas, not that Chivas has struggled in Fuerzas Básicas, because they haven't. They've been successful for a long time now. It's just never translated. But, you know, this year, to have the success with Tapatío and now the first team, like, that says a lot. And if they're able to keep it up, it, you know, it'll be success for a while.
Begging him on Twitter to sell the team. People were hoping like that Angelica won the lawsuit so that she could sell the team. Or maybe I was saying that. No, I'm pretty sure people were saying that. So he went through a lot, man. So he deserves his flowers now. I mean, the job's not finished, but he deserves his flowers so far.
You think if we win... And I think that was his promise to his dad, right? That he wants to win the championship with the men's team. Because he's done it with the women's team already. Do you think he sells the team if he wins the championship?
It makes too much money, bro.
Yeah, that's true, I guess. Because he's kind of just faded into the background, right? He's not out there like his dad used to be, or how even he used to be. So I think, I don't think he would sell the team.
Plus, these storylines and the way the, you know, when you suffer and then you win like this, like it makes the win feel even better. Like, how do you get, how do you just say, well, I'm going to sell the team now, especially if he's a fan, you know?
Yeah.
It would be very difficult for him to sell the team. And the people would stop asking him to sell it.
I think the biggest thing that helps him a little bit is the short tournament. Because they make you have, like, short-term memory, right? Because, like, you go into a season, it's 17 games plus the playoffs, and you don't win or you don't do anything impactful, but in 4 weeks, you're back again playing another tournament, right? And it's just like a never-ending cycle, and it makes you sort of forget, like, I feel like the last 6 years have sort of almost blended together from the point of Chivas. Like, we had, like, Matias, they win the championship, and they win the CCL. And then I feel like we just went from Matias to Pauno, and, like, all those coaches in between just blended together because these seasons are so short and the time in between them is so short. And to a certain degree, it's almost beneficial for Amaury because, like, people forget so fast that we just play like shit. And it's like, oh, new season starts, got to start watching again. But at the same time, it's like, how long are we going to fucking suck? And what are you doing to change this? And he finally did something that was meaningful.
Drastic.
I think that's just like sports overall, though. Like, as soon as your team is good again, you forget about all the years that they're trash. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think you just need one good run.
I guess the short what that it allows you probably especially allows you with no relegation, it allows you to fuck up over and over and over and over in a quick manner until you figure it out. Yeah. And I think they were doing the same thing over and over, like, okay, we're gonna fire Wilson Dietrich, we're gonna hire another Mexican coach. And I think it made him get fed up and say, no, I have to do something completely different because this clearly isn't working. I brought in probably the best guy in Mexico as a general manager. And he's bringing in the best coaches, Mexican coaches, and that's just not working. I had to do something completely different.
I mean, it worked. We're in the final again.
Belais was on the Tuden transmission. Tuden.
Oh, can we talk about how trash that Tuden?
Oh my god!
Transmission or broadcast was.
Bad,
dude. So the game here, we're all on the three of us are on the East Coast. Blows in the.
Struggling to see
Midwest or whatever that time zone is called. I don't even know. But
Mountain?
Oh, is that what it's called? All right.
Yeah.
Nah, Central.
Oh, Central? Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. We're all done.
Central Coast.
So the game here started at 10 o'clock. It was supposed to kick off at 10. I turned on the TV at 9:30. They were doing like a pre-show, a pre-game or whatever. Dude, I had it on for like 5 minutes and I had to turn my TV off. It was disgusting. The bias to America, and I understand that Televisa owns them, and everybody on Twitter that was replying to my tweet about, oh, the Tuden commentary sucks. Yes, I know Televisa owns America. Everybody knows Televisa owns America. That's why they suck them off how they do. But, God, that was appalling. Like, Telemundo, I don't know, maybe because we're Chivas fans, but I don't think Telemundo does it like Tuden does it to America. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
Like, the commentators are all ex-Americanistas, like...
And they're not even funny either. Like,
no,
like,
they're not.
The one thing I will say about Álvaro Morales, he's a troll. Like, I could watch him because he's, like, at times he's funny. Like, the troll is funny. But these guys aren't even good commentators.
No. They're terrible.
Yeah.
They're terrible. And the joy I got out of having to listen to them, like, the clip of The Simpsons of when Ralph gets his heart broken and Bart keeps replaying it, that's how the Chiquete de Orozco goal sounded to me. Because you hear their soul leave their bodies. Their season's done. Their team
Andres
is out.
Andres Cantor is not like that.
We broke them. I hate Andres Cantor, too.
Nah, but he'll keep it real though.
Unless you hate on unless it's Chivas, he hates us. He's never gonna get over the 4-0 Copa Libertadores victory. That man hates Chivas. And he always talks randomly, starts talking about Messi. Like, bro, like we're watching Liga MX. Why are you talking about Messi? Like, you won the World Cup. Shut up. Like, but to go back to the Chivas game, Rigo, were you gonna make a point before I had to shut on through the ending real quick? Did we lose Rigo?
Rigo fell asleep. It's 9:40.
I think we lost Rigo now. We lost Luis earlier, but we're still going.
I don't know what the fuck happened to me. Bro, this might be like the omen. It must be a good omen. Like, start the pod with like some of the original guys, you know?
Yeah.
Then I join in halfway.
All right, so we talked about the players we thought shined. I mean, Chiquete Orozco too. Great game. Great series against Atlas, and then
the fact that he was up there to head the ball. It's not like a set piece or nothing. Like, that goes to America's tactics of being so defensive that Panovic probably told him, hey, there's no threat of an attack, go up.
Right. I mean, we were at that point though where we were gonna start crossing the ball into the box every other play. So we had to get some height in there. Chiquete is a pretty tall player. I think if it gets to like the 92nd minute, they would have pushed Briseño up there. Everybody would have been in the box.
Yeah, at that point you have to. You see him asking for it literally right before he gets the cross.
Oh, yeah. And then that ball from Nene.
Yeah,
the ball from Nene. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Con la mano.
Alan Mosso, too, on the goal that he scores.
The set piece.
Oof. The set piece. You see Alvarado notice it and bring him in and tell him.
Yeah.
And as he tells them, there's an America player on the wall that I guess notices them two talking and goes to cover Mosso and then realizes there's an open player in the box and leaves Mosso to go cover the open player. So it's the little things, man.
Yeah, I was waiting for – I think I – remember I was like trying to justify me putting $5 on Diva Sepulveda to score a goal. And I was like, we have these set pieces that Pavlovich hasn't broken out yet or has put it in his back pocket. And is saving for a special moment. And we saw it last night, that Mosso goal. And I love how he celebrated. I don't know what he was doing, but kind of like a Wakanda X kind of thing. I don't know if he was just ecstatic or he had that celebration planned or whatever, but I loved it. It was great.
Yeah, man. Man, that feeling. Bro, there's nothing like Chivas in the final, man. Being a Chivas fan since I was little, like I love, like even Mexico, like I love watching Mexico play. Like I love New York Giants, I love the Knicks, but Chivas is different, man. No matter through all the suffering, a Chivas victory just feels different.
I think on Saturday when after Arsenal lost, Gabby texted me or something. And she was like, ah, sucks about Arsenal. And I was like, mil veces un título de Chivas.
Chivas, yeah.
Antes que uno de Arsenal.
Like
Rigo a thousand said, times.
Like him and my uncle called him. My uncle's texted me about Chivas. Like, that's all we talk about. Whenever we do talk, that's what it is.
Yep.
Yeah. I hadn't talked to my uncle in months. He texted me about the game.
Bro, my text with my uncle are Chivas. And Mexico, and about the Mexico in the World Cup, and how it's all because of an Argentina coach that we lost.
All right, so we knock America out at the Azteca. We had to win by two. We go in there, we win by two.
Hey, hold on. Can I just say that I called that we only need to win two games out of the remaining four, and in the first series, we only had to win one. And guess what? We go into the final, we only have to win one.
True. How are you guys feeling about Chivas Tigres? I don't think it was a final that anybody called before Liguilla started. I think everybody had Rayados and locked in going to the final. But
honestly, if there's one team that I wouldn't want to face, besides America, it was Tigres.
I was going to say the opposite. It's the one team I want to face.
Nah, I feel like we haven't. Yes, we beat them earlier in the season. But since that final in 2017, we haven't had the best luck against them.
Nah, but that's why. Because it means so much to them. Like, that shit hurts them so much that it's gonna have, they're going to have so much pressure. I'm glad it's them.
They hate us. They hate us. Like, they're never, if they don't win this final, imagine we send Gignac into retirement.
Did after you guys
losing
catch,
a second final to us?
Did you guys catch during the telecast when they said, I wonder if Santander is going to be the ref for yeah. the final or something like that? I'm like, mm-hmm. bro, you guys are still not over that shit?
Do the end, man. Do the end. Trash.
Like, get over that shit.
Trash. And I think, I don't know, Córdoba's on fire for Tigres. And I think, yes, they were talking about in the Discord how, you know, at one point we were supposed to get Córdoba. But I think, like, they leaked it, I think, or something like that. But I don't know if Córdoba would have been able to turn it around on Chivas. Because remember, even on Tigres, he was already considered a flop. Yeah. And he's turned it around. I think once you're a flop on Chivas, to turn it around, I can't name many players on Chivas that have been flops and then turned it around.
Zendeja. Or
while no, but I mean while still at Chivas. Like, start off terrible and then okay. be good. Like, Chapo Sanchez is one where he was like, remember he used to play on the right wing and he was ass. Yeah. And then they moved him to right back and he turned into one of Chivas' best players. But in terms of in-team redemption, I don't think many players have done it on Chivas. And I don't think Ronaldo would have been
Ronaldo
able to.
Cisneros, my GOAT.
I mean, he has to do a lot more if we're gonna consider him a redemption story.
If we win, that's it.
When did their new coach start?
Tigres?
Yeah.
I think mid-season, right? Cause,
yeah, it was mid-season.
Chema
Ruiz was a couple of weeks ago because he was here when they played against Orlando. He was the coach.
They had three coaches this season.
Yeah,
they had Coca, no, right?
Now, would you guys rather play Monterrey or Tigres? I'd rather play Tigres.
I'd rather play Tigres.
I'd rather play the enemy I know.
Yeah, I'd rather play Tigres. And I think there's, like, some interesting storylines going into that game. Obviously, the 2017 final. But then one that I was thinking about today was, again, Pollo Briseño. And somebody, I think, asked it on Twitter, who would you have Pollo Briseño guard? Gignac or Córdoba? But, I mean, I don't think that question makes sense. But,
no, it doesn't make sense.
No, but Briseño guarding Gignac kind of worries me. Because Gignac gets away with so much shit. And he can play psychological warfare on the field.
Yeah.
And Briseño can be baited so easily. And we've seen him bait Diva into a red card before. And we've seen him bait a lot of our players into cards. So
Has Guido Pizarro left Orbelin's pocket yet? Because he got pocketed that final. I don't know if I've heard of him since.
Was it Orbelin or was it Gallito?
It was Orbelin, no?
No, it was Gallito, I think.
Was it Gallito? I thought it was
Orbelin. Wasn't it Orbelin that he was pushing higher up the field to stop him, like, higher up the field?
I thought it was Gallito, though.
I think it was Pineda.
Yeah, because Pizarro's a five. He's a defensive midfielder, so he's further back. I don't think Gallito would be that high up the field.
So who did Gallito put on lock? Because we played two CDMs that game. We had Gallito and Salcido.
Yeah.
And Pizarro, Pereira and Alanis in the back line.
I remember it being Orbelin.
I don't remember a lot of the game. I was too euphoric.
but are you guys concerned about possible matchup between Briseño and Gignac? Considering Gignac's ability to get into players' heads.
I mean, I think Gignac, I'm not too worried about the whole mental thing. I just think Gignac is Gignac, and, you know, he's still got it. It's not like he doesn't got it anymore. Right. Just because he's older. I just, you know, he's still got crazy off the ball movement. He's still, you give him half an inch and he's going to, you know, he'll make a play happen. I do think Panovich is crafty enough where, you know, he's going to line this team up and set a defensive game plan that'll try to neutralize him.
Yeah. We talked last podcast how they asked Panovich if he would consider talking to Almeida or something like that, if he would get advice from Almeida. And he said, oh, yeah, well, he has an apartment in the building, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I'll talk to him. But now, do you guys think he would talk to him? Being that it's the final against a similar team? Against a Tigres that's still very similar.
I don't think so. I think he watches enough video.
But I think I can see him watching the game, though.
Did you guys see that on Univision they had Orbelin and Almeida congratulating the team? It seemed like it was pre-recorded. I did not see that. It seemed like it was pre-recorded because it was like right after the game.
Oh, I didn't see it. I gotta look for that.
Well, I did see that they were interviewed from Televisa, I guess, interviewing Matias Almeida, so I could see them maybe have pre-recorded something in case they won.
I don't know,
I didn't see that.
I did see Chicharito post on Instagram, Vamos Chivas. Now he wants us. Now he wants to come back. Now that LA Galaxy is in a dumpster fire, now he wants to come back to Chivas.
We don't want
stay in LA. Stay in LA, Chicha. You're done. We don't want
you
no more.
He's gonna find you next week.
We don't need you no more.
he gonna hear this. He gonna hear you fucking going to Cali. You have to check in with somebody before you land.
Oh shit. All right. Any?
I'm surprised you're not canceling that Cali trip and going to GDL.
I was looking at flights. There's like I would have to fly out of San Francisco Sunday morning. And there's no direct flights to Guadalajara, so, and then you have that the volcano that's like messing flights up and all that shit. It's too risky. I might not make it. So I just didn't even look anymore. And it was like, I think who did I say tweeted it? Luis, Rob, right? He tweeted that the flights like quadrupled in price in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild. Like, oh no, I'm good. I can't justify it.
I checked last week.
Right? From New York?
I'm like, from New York. They were like 5-6.
Yeah, it was like 560. Right? Mm-hmm.
And then I checked again last night, and they were already 1,000. Because I'm like, if it's 500, I'll fly from New York. And I'll go for 24 hours. Like, I don't give a fuck. You don't even need a hotel. Like, we're gonna be celebrating. Like, I go right back to the airport. but I gotta think 1,000 for 24 hours. It just gets up there.
Then you gotta buy the ticket.
Yeah, buy a ticket to the game. Like, I remember last time I dropped $350 for just
a ticket.
A ticket, and I was all the way up. But I also fucked up. Like, I fucked up when I went to that game, because I remember I had a friend, like, earlier on, they could get me tickets for $350 for lower bowl, but I was behind the goal, and I'm like, I don't want to be behind the goal. And I waited too long, and then those were gone, and the only thing I could get was, like, $350 for, like, top corner. Which, whatever, I mean, the view from that stadium is great everywhere.
Yeah.
But I feel I've been telling anyone that I know that is a Chivas fan, I'm like, yo, if you can afford to go, just go. Like, buy a ticket, and, you know, if you know some people over there, try and, you know, get a plug or whatever to hook you up with tickets, because it's worth it. Like, it's once in a lifetime. Like,
It's an amazing experience.
You never know when it's going to happen again.
You go to Limonero after?
Did I go?
Yeah.
Nah, but only because I was like extremely hungover. I had
hungover almost... during the game.
No, I was hungover from the night before. We went partying the night before. We drank a lot. And so I was hungover all fucking day. Then I almost died at the game from celebrating. And then, like, by the time you get out the stadium and try to get an Uber, we had to walk, like mad far to get an Uber. I think we got back to our room, like, 1, 2 in the morning. And the game didn't end that late.
Yeah.
So then catch an early flight, and the guy was like, I'm not trying to go to Limonero.
Nah, I went to Limonero after the Champions League one. First of all, after the game, I caught the Uber. We caught the Uber or the taxi, and this motherfucker dropped us off in front of a strip club. In front of a strip club, and went in Rome. They said, "Well, the bus ain't coming for like another hour, so you guys should just walk."
You're supporting the local economy. You're doing absolutely. Your job. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And then you go to La Minerva, and it was. That was the day that Pizarro said whatever that ended up getting him kicked off the team eventually. Yeah, so that was, it's just it is an amazing experience.
The national team, not Chivas. He wanted his bonus, and that's why they got rid of him.
But he never played for Chivas again after that, right?
The final? Didn't he play
the Champions League?
Yeah, after the Champions League, no.
Yeah, that's when they got.
But he said that after the regular season final, not the CONCACAF.
Was it?
Yeah. It was the regular season.
I remember the buildings in Guadalajara. They had like bro, the big buildings had giant banners down, like saying "Albeda no te vayas." it is an amazing experience. And yo, Enrico went to that final with them losing.
That's... No, they didn't lose.
No,
they drew.
Yeah, they drew. One.
It felt like a loss.
Not 1-1?
Against that team, it felt like a loss.
It did feel like a loss because they were up 2-0 for 80 minutes. And then I remember there was like a long ball to Gignac, and somehow, I forgot who,
yeah,
I think he beat Alanis or Pereira, and he scored. And then the second goal came like quick after that. But yeah, it was 2-0, and it felt like a loss.
I could have sworn it was 1-1, but I don't know. You might be right.
No, it was definitely 2-2 because we ended up winning, and the Global was 4-3. I don't remember a lot of the details of the match, even though I've had to rewatch like 3 or 4 times on TV. That's the only thing like about being in a live arena, right? That you miss like the replays and like, you know, what they're talking about. Even though on Tudena they fucking suck, but you miss a lot of that. So whenever I go, I have to go look for the match afterwards and like so I can watch it and really like,
yeah,
you know, do like a deep dive on what I just watched.
You go to the game, and then you go home and rewatch the game. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's fun to watch all the highlights.
Bro, how was the Gallito Vasquez? I don't remember it.
The Gallito Vasquez goal?
Yeah.
It was like top of the box.
Almost
like the Mosso goal. But it was more like angled.
It got a little deflected.
I'm going to look it up right now.
All right, guys. So we're almost going to hit the hour mark. An hour? So I think we should do, what do they call it? Rocket round? Is that what it's called? Rapid fire round? I don't know.
Rapid fire. I thought we were going to do predictions. But go ahead.
Oh, we can do that at the end. So we got a bunch of questions from the Discord, from Instagram, from Twitter. And every time I ask for questions, we never actually answer the questions on the podcast. So I think for once, you know, we should actually answer the questions. I'm going to read some off, and then I don't know if you guys want to alternate or whatever, but we're going to get these out of the way. First one from the Discord: will we get CDN merch if we win La Trece? I have the stuff. I have the files. I just can't get the freaking color right on the printer. Like, the skin tones come out red instead of like the actual skin tone. So if I ever figure it out, I will release the merchandise. What player has surprised y'all?
Comic,
Yeah, I can't get the color right. Like the it comes out like sunburned, like they got sunburned. I can't get the skin tone right. I don't know why. But I'm still trying. Yeah.
I designed a hard ass CDN shirt, but nobody will print it.
Oh yeah. Cuz copyright issues and stuff.
Yeah, copyright shit.
All right, next question. What player has surprised y'all the most this league? Yeah, I think everyone can just give a rapid answer of who surprised them the most.
Ronaldo.
All right, Flo got Ronaldo. Rigo, who you got?
Mosso.
That's a good pick. Luis?
I got the resurgence of Brizuela.
Brizuela, that's a good one too. Shit, I don't even... I think Pollo Briseño.
That's a good answer too.
I think it's kind of like a redemption story too, where a lot of fans had written him off, and even coaches had written him off and found him, which was like, you're going to be my guy, and I'm going to put you in every game.
Him and Conejito, man.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's see. Next question. ¿Dónde está Henry Martin?
Is in Pollo's pocket right now.
Dude, I didn't realize he was such a Liguilla fraud. He only has five combined, because through then they was talking about it. Or not through then, everybody was talking about it after the game. But I think he has like five combined goals and assists in 32 games for America. That's a Liguilla fraud.
As much shit Liguilla as fraud. Americanistas talk about Vega or Henry Martin to fucking disappear in the playoffs is fucking ridiculous.
Bro, just my eyes have always told me he's a fucking bomb, bro. He's trash. Like, I can't believe he started a game in the World Cup. Like, he's a fucking bomb. He's a fraud.
I've been saying he's trash for like 5 years.
Since they signed him. Remember when there was rumors of Chivas getting him? I was glad we never got his bomb ass.
Maybe he'll finally start bringing that up every time a Clásico comes around. Every time a Clásico comes around, oh yeah, I could have played for Chivas, but I decided to go to America. And what did it get you? Nothing. Next question. Who leaves or needs to leave this offseason, and who would you like to see in the Chivas jersey realistically?
I'll be honest, I'm not even thinking about that right now. I haven't put enough thought into who can come in. Looking at for sure we need a striker, but I wouldn't even know who.
I mean, probably Santi Jimenez is who they should bring.
Chucky Lozano?
Realistically, guys.
I mean, I'm trying to, you know.
I pulled it off in FIFA, but not real life.
Johan Vasquez. You know, just whoever's in Europe, just bring him back. We're not doing anything next World Cup anyway, so what's the point of them being over there?
That's true. That is very true. We got a couple of canteranos that probably should get called up to the first team. But
I'm still waiting. My man Sebastian Perez Buquet, I don't understand why he's not.
Yeah,
he's on contract, man.
I don't know what he did.
It's like you and Flo were in potting when they had to send you the contract over.
In terms of who leaves, if you would have asked me this question like 8 weeks ago, I would have had a whole list. But right now,
there's a Pollo Briseño.
Yeah.
Guacho Jimenez. Maybe a younger goalie.
Y'all want Acevedo?
Then I'll take him.
I don't. I think he's a fraud, too.
Mm. You know who we need to bring in, right?
Don't even say Marco Fabián or Chicharito.
Marco Fabián. Is he still playing?
Yeah. He's in Mazatlán, no? Somewhere. He got let go.
Like 50-yard bombs on the leagues.
He'd show up more than Henry Martin, that's for sure.
Damn, he might have the same amount of Liguilla goals as Henry Martin. Damn, Henry Martin fraud confirmed. Who would you say is our player or your player of the season?
You're gonna ask the three people who didn't watch a game? Nene Beltran. That's gonna be my answer, and it's probably like a good answer too.
I as someone that watched
for the season,
yeah. as someone that watched the majority of the games, I think I missed like one or two. I would say Pocho Guzman. I think his impact this season that he had early in the season, late in the season, he has kind of disappeared in the Liguilla, but if we're talking regular season, Pocho Guzman is my player of the regular season.
Got to include Liguilla. Yeah. Consistency.
I would say Beltran or Vega. And I mean, I was ready to shit on Vega after these last couple games, but I mean, I thought he had a good season overall.
Well, he was hurt for like 60% of it. So he really played the whole season.
I mean, but when he has played, he's been, you know, he's impactful. Right. But right. I mean, I only watched 60% of the games.
I watched, you know?
Yeah. 40% of the 60% that I was watching.
All I know, there's very few times I've watched US play, and I'm like, damn, they're just not doing it today, bro. He's just not playing well.
All right, next. When are the Discord members going to get a guest spot on the pod? That would be fun.
As soon as we pod.
As soon as we start podcasting consistently again.
Who's coming on?
You should just do the Twitter spaces.
Yeah, but there's like, I don't know how there's like a bunch of people in the Discord that don't have Twitter. So I don't know.
How the hell did they find this?
People invite them to the Discord, but they don't make Twitter accounts, and they're not on Twitter.
Somebody still posted it on Facebook.
Nah, the problem with the Twitter spaces is you can't screen the people, so they start talking.
Yeah.
Why'd I let this person on?
Yeah, remember one time we had like some guy ramble for like 10 minutes, and I had no idea what he talked about?
You couldn't even cut him off either.
No. All right, let's jump to Instagram now. What has changed for this run season from Apertura? Paunovic.
Yeah.
Changed the mentality. He got everything he can out of all these players because it's basically the same squad. Shout out to Paunovic. Oh, Jorge Calvo from Telemundo sent us a question. And it's a good question. He said, should Macias come back to Chivas?
JJ?
Mm-hmm.
Where's he going to go?
I mean, do you guys want him back?
I'm not a fan. I haven't been a fan since the Matias days.
Since he was healthy.
Yeah, I haven't. I feel like he's a fraud. He had that one good season. I mean, and even prior to that, he was just a little whiny bitch. and if they're going to bring anyone back, be my young adult son. That's what they should bring back.
Young adult son. I was waiting for the trophies.
I miss trophies every day.
Hey, he started off as an MVP and then faded away.
I would have liked back, even though I mean he's not. He's probably like I would have liked Pizarro back this season. Mm. Like he's over there wasting his time in Miami.
Is he still there?
I think so. I was trying to look him up the other day. I couldn't find exactly where he's playing.
I'd rather take Alan Pulido than...
Oh, I mean, I would definitely bring Pulido back, too.
Even though he could score, like, his first goal in, like, 2 years in MLS.
Yeah, because he hasn't played in 2 years.
Because he got injured.
Yeah. Messed up his knees. All right, last Instagram question from the Colorful Kit founder. Which player has improved the most since the season started? I think this is like I think this is an easy question to be honest.
Which player has improved the most since the season started?
Yeah.
Man, I feel like
Alan Mosso.
It has to be Mosso. Yeah, because the first like 3-4 weeks, everybody was calling Mosso a fraud, me included. I thought he was a fraud. I thought we got police. But now
he's
like,
got him this season?
I think no. So. No? He's been here too?
He was there last season for sure.
Oh, he was on the bench then, right?
Yeah.
He started coming
off the bench.
Oh yeah, he lost his spot to Charal, right?
To Chapo.
That's nasty. Oh yeah. That's nasty work. That's definitely most improved.
Yeah,
man.
He joined in May last year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but now yeah, we're still playing. Now it's May and we're still playing.
That's fair. Definitely muscle. Muscle's definitely the most improved. All right, we got Discord out of the way. We got Instagram out of the way. Let's see if I could find the Twitter questions.
I don't know. The notifications are fire on that fucking account.
Dude, my phone was like freezing last night trying to like go through the notifications. It's crazy. What are your thoughts on Vega going forward? Should the team sell him sooner than later? Thinking of coming years, what's the best way to deal with him?
I saw that question earlier, and my instant thing was like, no, you can't sell him. You can't get rid of him. That's what we criticized the last time we won, is when we started getting rid of players. Why would we get rid of a young? He's still young and in his prime. There's no reason to get rid of him anytime soon.
Yeah.
Even if we can't get money for him, we're Chivas is in the there's business no, of trying to win.
There's no other talent. Who are you gonna bring?
We're not in the business of building players to sell them. We're trying to be champions. We're trying to win.
Right. I think I have to go with Regal's point. Like, who would you replace him with? It's not like there's an array of Mexican talent that we can bring in to replace him.
Yeah.
Plus, who are you gonna sell him to? Maybe
Rayados or Tigres.
I don't think Europe's falling anytime soon.
Saudi Arabian. Saudi Arabian club. Let him go be Ronaldo or Messi's teammate.
Ronaldo.
Sell him to Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, that'd be fire. In the final, should we play with a number 9 or go back to a false 9?
Whatever Paolo wants to do, I'm with him.
He's gonna study the team. He's gonna study the opponent, and he'll decide. And whatever he decides, I ain't gonna criticize him no more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna doubt Paunovic again, because I was not a fan of the substitutions he made on Sunday and to start off the game, not in the game, but the ones he made to start off the game, I was not on board. And Charal had Cabecita Rodriguez in his pocket. So shows what we know.
Absolutely.
The next question, comment question says, I've been seeing a lot of Chivramanos posting their superstitions on game day. Are we superstitious? And if so, what jersey will we be wearing for the final? That's a good question.
I can't fit in my jerseys.
I mean, I haven't done it this playoff run, but last playoff run, and for a while I would only wear my 2017 on sleeve.
Mm.
So I might gotta pull it out again. I don't know. If I pull it out on Thursday, pause, and they lose, then I can't wear it on Sunday. I don't know.
Yeah. I mentioned this before the pod, before we started podding, that I'm gonna go to Rigo's old house. And I'm going to knock on the door Sunday night and ask if I can watch the game in that apartment. Just show up in the Chivas shirt.
2017?
Yeah. Other than that, I'm going to just, honestly, I'll probably just, as much as I want to go to the game, watch it by myself. Like, I'm going to be nervous that night, so it's my birthday too, so we'll see. Hopefully they win, man. Hopefully they can give us that joy again. Wait, they don't play at 10 o'clock at night again, do they?
No, they play. I think they're going to play at 9.
At 9, finish at 11. So we probably won't go to bed till like 4 in the morning tweeting.
I don't think the time frame yet. So the first 9:30, game is Thursday
9:35.
At 10.
Thursday at 10. No, Thursday at 10 is the first game.
Damn, right during the succession finale. Fuck.
So it's gonna be 7 o'clock for me and Varo.
Yeah, we'll be
Thursday.
Up. Yeah, because we're gonna be in San Francisco.
And Sunday at 9:35.
That's 6:35.
Regardless, we ain't sleeping, and we won't care the next.
I don't know what jersey I'm gonna wear. I'll probably pack a jersey, and then, depending how I feel, I'll put it on or I might not put it on. So we'll see. If If anything, I'll bring the 115th anniversary jersey. That shit is so clean. I love that jersey.
I think the only jersey that I have that fits me is my Chivas Chicharito jersey that I still haven't worn. Still got the tags on it and everything. I don't know if I want to wear it.
You just because you've never tried it.
Say what?
Does it fit you, or you just don't know if it fits you?
Because
you've never worn it.
Nah, it fits me because it's like it's an old jersey, right? Back in the day when jerseys were bigger.
Back in the day when Ramoncito Morales would play with like a parachute on.
Yeah, I know it fits me. It's a jersey that's like, how old is that thing now? I don't even know. But
I don't know how Ramoncito was so aerodynamic with a parachute on. Like what are you doing, bro? Then last question. Are we sending Gignac into retirement?
Hopefully.
Hell yeah.
I hope. What's that rapper that was on the Breakfast Club? He's like, I hope so.
What? Soulja Boy?
No, it wasn't Soulja Boy. He had a ski mask on. I don't know his name, but
I hope so.
They're like, do you think she likes it? He's like, I hope so. So I hope we send Gignac into retirement. That wraps up all the questions we had, and now predictions, guys. I think I know where we're all going with this, but give me your predictions, and we'll wrap it up.
I'm gonna go 3-2 Chivas overall score between both games. I'm going 3-1 overall. I think it's gonna be I feel like we're gonna win this easy. Not easy, but it's not gonna be as complicated as we think. I like our chances.
Yeah. I was thinking 3-1 as well. I'll go 3-1.
For some reason I had 3-1 also. I feel too overconfident. I'm like too happy. Like I don't like this feeling. I like it, but I also don't like it, you know?
Yeah.
But I think we get that 13th championship. I really think we win. But
and it's going to be the perfect Liguilla, man, is beating Tigres, beating Gignac, and then winning the two Clásicos, man. You can't name a better Liguilla than that.
That's true. You can't. I think I already told Flo I'm going to bring my laptop, my mic, everything. I'm going to bring it to Cali. If we win, we can do like a post-game pod like we did in 2017. I'm going to tweet that episode out again because that was like a really fun episode. And it was right after we won the final, like probably like half an hour after we won the final. So that was really dope. Yeah, thank everybody that listened to the whole episode. Thank you for listening. Arrigo, Luis, Flo, thank you for coming on for another episode. We should try to do this more often. I know we've all been super busy, but this is why we do it. Yep. And hopefully we win the championship on Sunday.
All right, guys.
Oh, actually, cue the greatest post-game Chivas fan speech of all time from 2017. I'm going to let it roll here. And then the outro music is going to hit at the end of that. So we are out.
Peace.
¡Eso! ¡Eso es lo que vale! ¡Esto es un puto equipo de mexicanos! ¡Todo un perro plantel! ¡Aquí no Guiñac! ¡Aquí no Francia! ¡Aquí no Nahuel! ¡Aquí no Argentina! ¡Aquí no es Tijuana! ¡Aquí no es Monterrey! ¡Aquí es Guadalajara, cabrón! ¡Aquí respetas a este pinche equipo! ¡Esto es un pinche plantel de mexicanos! ¡Lleno de huevos! ¡Lleno de huevos, cabrón! ¡Esto es un pinche título de ellos! ¡De ese pinche equipo lleno de mexicanos! ¡Se lo merecen! ¡Tú lo diste por descendido! ¡Tú dijiste que este monstruo los iba a matar! ¡Tú lo dijiste! ¡Aquí cómetela! ¡Cómetela! ¡La doceava es tuya, Chivas! ¡Aquí respetas a Guadalajara!